Sure. 3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
That's how I got hired at Chippendales.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the strongman, go direct to DLNTS.org. And I see channels at LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to the Linux Link Tech Show 887. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
And this is the last one of the year.
And it's just the two of us.
Yeah, and I would love to end the year on a positive note, but all I have are complaints tonight. and they're technology related, too. I mean, there's some good stuff. Obviously, I have some good stuff, but I do have a lot of complaints. So I don't know. Do you want to start off, Joel, or should I start off?
Go right ahead.
All right. Now this isn't the complaint, right? Like, our neighbor, his son, who my middle daughter, Avery, babysits. Well, it's babysitting, essentially, because... Long story short, she's a veterinarian, and so she's like one of the only surgical veterinarians in the practice where she works, and she does a lot of dental for dogs. So she spends her entire day in PPE, right? And then her husband got a job with Space Force and had to go up to DC, right? So they needed somebody to watch their son, who's 7, a year younger than Lily, and while he does schoolwork and all that stuff throughout the day. So due to that level of exposure and the fact that she's in PPE and his father's away up in DC, like, those are some of the people that we're comfortable being around because we know where she is and our daughter. And so it's kind of like it doesn't matter because our daughter's over there at least two days a week for most of the day. So it's kind of like you're essentially living with them anyway. Well, he has an iPad, and he's been playing Roblox and then the associated games with our daughter, who was playing it on her phone. And so that put a bug in her butt that she wanted an iPad for Christmas, right? And I'm not keen on iPads, but having gone through a number of Android tablets, I'm like, if she's going to get one, my wife was like, we'll get a refurbished one. I'm like, whatever, fine. I don't care, right? All she's going to do on this thing is play Roblox and a few other games.
Yeah, right.
And so, Christmas Day, iPad. Like, we got a refurbished one. It's an iPad 4, I think it is. This is a previous, it's not the brand new one, so it's refurbished.
Right.
And got it, plugged it in, works wonderfully, everything seems to be fine. So Christmas Day, I go to set it up for, right? And I'm right. Like,
you don't have an iTunes account.
Well, I do.
Okay.
I had one a long time ago. Like, I did have an iPad, but like way back when I worked at the school district, we got iPods. They gave us iPods. So I did have an iTunes account. I do have an Apple account, and I have an Apple account that's through work. So I'm like, this, I know this is going to bite me in the ass, but let's be honest. Let's follow the steps. Let's
right
up front. This is my daughter. We want to have some control over what she does on there. Let's set up her account. Honesty. And I would like her to have an account. Like all these, like she has a Gmail account. We monitor that. We have all this stuff. And I'd like for her to be able to use that stuff. And then when she gets old enough, don't have to worry about, you know, why did you say I was 18 when I was only 10, right? Or when I was only 8, right? So I'm like, all right, I go to set it up, and it's like, you can't set it up because you're not old enough. You need to have a parent create a family account, right? Add you onto the family account. So I'm like, all right, not a big deal. I will do this. I don't want to associate it with my work account, so I'm going to set it up with my own personal account.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that, and it took me a half hour because I had to jump through the hoops of trying to get my old password and remember what email it was linked to. Yeah, and then you know, it wants to do always a two-factor authentication. I'm cool with that. Send me a text message. And the first thing I notice is the moment I set this damn thing up, it connects to iCloud, and for like 2 minutes, it sits there doing whatever the hell it's doing, right?
Right.
I don't know what it's doing, but it's syncing up, and then it tells me it can't transfer everything, and I need to do this. Like, I need to add a payment method, and I need to approve the payment method, and I can't figure out how to approve the payment method. I don't know what the fuck's going on. And then it's like, all right, you can skip this step. And I'm like, fine, I'm going to skip this step. So then I go in, and I go into the family part, and I follow directions to create an account for my daughter and have it all set up. And she needs an iCloud account, can't be linked to her Gmail account. So I give her the iCloud, get set up a password, iCloud account, everything all good to go. Then I'm like, all right. Now let's log in under her account and let's get Roblox installed. Well, no, I can't install Roblox because I didn't give her the right permission.
Permission, right.
Or whatever it was. I can't remember exactly what it was. But I learned this. When I go to log out, it's like, you need to put in your password to disable the Find Me on the device.
Yeah, Find Me the iPad, right, yeah.
And I'm like, all right. I would like to have that just in case we need to find it. Like, but I don't think it's going to tell me exactly where in the house it is. So I'm fine. I'll disable it, log out. And then it does the iCloud thing. And it's like, do you want to save your profile on here? And I'm like, no, I don't need to fucking sync the profile up to iCloud or whatever it is. And I'm like, okay. Right. So a minute and a half, 2 minutes later, it logs out. I log in as my daughter, does the same thing with the iCloud stuff. Then, then that's when it told me I couldn't download it. So then I had to go back into my account, do the same thing. I had to log out, and then it says, well, you know, depending on the password to disable Find Me. I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. I disable it, and I don't need to deal with it anymore. I'm going to log into my account. And then I'm going all over the place, jumping through all these hoops, trying to figure out what I need to do. And it's not that I need to give her permissions to this. Like, this part, I thought, like, share, like, and a purchased applications or whatever was it. No, I just need to give her, like, there's this thing, I turn that off, and then I say, okay, she can do that. I just need to, you know, it'll ask me for permission whenever she goes to install something, right? So I go to log out, and it wants me to put in my password again to disable to Find Me, and I'm like, God, I thought I disabled it last time, right?
Right.
And then it's got a, then it says, do you want to sync your past, you know, your information up to iCloud? And I'm like, good Lord, if it's going to take this long every time, I'll do it. Just like sync this stuff so I don't have to go through this every time. Well, then, you know, I logged out. I logged in with my daughter. I go click on install Roblox, and it says, you can't do this. You need permissions first. Ask for permissions. And I says, okay, grant me, you know, ask for permissions. And I'm waiting. And it doesn't, like, nothing shows up in my email or anything. So I'm like, all right, I got to log the hell back out again.
See, it's expecting you to have your own iOS device.
That's what I'm. That's the problem, right? Now here's the thing, right? So I log out, log back in, and it's got to sync the profile crap again. And like 3-4 minutes later, I'll have to disable the find me again. And 3 or 4 minutes later, I'm back in, and there's no notification for this.
That's the integration. Like, that is the what do they call that? Their not infrastructure, but their ecosystem. Yes.
Yeah. So I went back and forth with that like two more times.
Right.
Like, I kept going. I'm like, okay, maybe something happened. I don't know. I never got the notification. I looked all over. Then I stopped, right? I logged, and every time I go to log out, I have to disable the find me. Like, I'm like, I thought I disabled it all these times. It won't let me. And it's got to sync the profile stuff. So, like, logging in is like 2 minutes. Logging out is like 2 minutes. And then I'm like, all right, I didn't want to do this, but I guess I have no choice. I go over to my work laptop. I'm logged into that. I log in to my account through the Apple Store.
Right.
I log into iCloud with my account, not my work account. So now I'm sitting there waiting. So I log in as my daughter. And
it popped up on your laptop.
I go to request, and what ends up happening is now whenever I log in, it sends me a message through iCloud or whatever that I've logged in on another device, and is that approved? And
I said yes,
but I never got the iPad, I got the login from my work machine on the iPad, but I never got the reverse. So there's that one part in there in the preferences where it's like, you need to finish authorizing your account on this device, but I can't do it because it's not showing up anywhere. So now I'm in on my work laptop, and I'm in my daughter as her, and I go to install the application, and it says, you need permission. And I'm like, okay, click. And I'm sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and it never comes. And I do it again. It never comes. I log out. I log back in. I log out. I log nothing. It will not show up. It does not show up at all. No notifications. It's like what it's doing is it's sending the notification to – I caught it once. It sends the notification to the iPad, and it comes up, and it says, on my daughter's account, it comes up and says, do you want to approve this? And I'm like, what's the point? So I go to approve it for my daughter. It was my daughter's account, mind you. And it says, you can't do this. You don't have permissions. So I log out of my daughter's account. I log back in on my account. And the notifications don't come. They don't show up. And I log back out and log in my daughter's. And I did that. Like, I spent 2 hours doing this. Jumping through these hoops, trying to troubleshoot, do all this stuff just to set it up right, until I finally found out that I could just click a button that says, I don't need to approve this shit. She can install whatever she wants. I don't need to approve it. And I'm like, why even have this? Like, why?
Right.
It should not take 2 hours to set this crap up.
You know what it is you don't understand. Well, trust me, I kind of know that they're a little bit too, like, here's like a good example. My wife, she just got a new meter, a glucose meter, because apparently they won't let her, or our insurance company wants. One thing I don't understand is, I have a glucometer too, all right, because I do technically have diabetes, but it's not, I'm very, very low. Yeah, only take one dose of medicine a day for it. And if I control the freaking sugar I eat and fix my diet, I probably wouldn't even need that. But I ain't going there right now. But so they sent her this new one, and it will synchronize. Like, you can synchronize your readings over to your phone. Okay. So the little manual comes with it. She says you could see the manual says you can either search for the name of it and gives the name Contour, whatever it was. Or you can scan this QR code, and there's a QR code right in our manual. And my wife's like, how do I do that? And I'm like, oh, it's easy. You just open up your camera. And, you know, it's like QR codes aren't – some people know, can figure it out, and some people can't. Anyway, so I do that. Then I'm doing this on her phone, okay? So, and then the way the iTunes store will work is you can – in her case, she has a phone 10R, which doesn't have a thumbprint reader, all right? So you have to use your face to unlock it, or you punch in your, whatever your PIN is, okay? And I don't know what her PIN is. I don't want to know what her PIN is. So I say, come here, I need your face. I point the phone at her face. Double click the power button on her phone, and then we finally install the app. But, you know, so it's stuff like that. And then other things like my iPad. I will say this. Once you're through that setup, later on down the road, if you get her another one, or like, you know, say she saved up money to get a brand new one to, you know, like one of the iPad Air 4s or the iPad Pro or something like that. When you bring up the new one, you basically just bring it near it, and it just starts to set things up. It's pretty That's easy, nice. Actually. Yeah, and you can do that with the phone, too. Okay, so there's a lot of good stuff with their ecosystem. I will not be the first one to say that it doesn't just work all the time, you know, as evidence from your experience. One of my pet peeves with it, with their ecosystem, is that it assumes that, like, now see, I only my work doesn't give me my our own I'm assuming your work's iTunes accounts is basically set up so that you can just go get whatever corporate apps that you need for zero cost if they're normally a paid app, okay, or something like that. Well, our company doesn't have anything like that. So most of the apps I need on iTunes or the on the app store is free, so I don't have to deal with it, okay? But one feature built into it is it will synchronize apps from – Your iPhone, like if you have an iPhone or an iPad, it'll synchronize the apps between the two, which some people must like. I don't. I don't want any of my work apps on my iPad. So,
well, you know, I found that out the hard way, though. You know, that becomes a problem too, because
yeah,
I agree with you 100%. Now, for work, we have there is an Apple account that they have set up that we can use for just right. installing like updates or stuff. But if we want to install anything off of that is in the iTunes store that costs money, we have to pay for it ourselves, because they will supply okay. stuff under that other account, and it's already pre-installed, and they have a automation software.
Yeah, and a security I have no software idea. That course, does yeah. that. Yeah. My iPhone will say that it's managed by my company.
Yeah, so it'll do that. You know, but so. Now I also find out that, like, I use Firefox on I found this out the hard prior to all this stuff, before us getting involved in Google and going to Google Cloud. We were just strictly AWS, and before that we weren't in any clouds. So I had logged in to Chrome under my personal account. You know, when you log into Google services in there, and then you can save your profile and have it shared across multiple systems that you log into. I had done that a long time ago, and now my Google profile has like my work bookmarks and all that stuff set up on it, which it doesn't yeah. really bother me. But since then, I've had to stop using my personal account in Chrome and favor of my work account, because we do use Google Cloud services, and I need to be logged in on that. But I've done now with Firefox, I have set that up as my own personal account and use that on my with my personal stuff. And then the company would set the homepage to Firefox to the portal, and then that would end up getting synced to all my devices that where I use Firefox. You know, it's just those little things like that.
Right. Now, well, I think think other things too. If you have, I use iMessage because that's really the only SMS app that I found anyway on iOS that works worth a darn. And you can synchronize. You basically have it so that when you get a text and iMessage, it'll just appear on your iPad. I'm like, no, I don't want that. I'm like, I don't need that. So that's usually one of the first things I do is turn off iMessage syncing, and I also turn off app syncing because I don't want the same apps. The other kind of negative too is that my new iPad's a 256 gig one, and I've found out now. Luckily, it basically won't sync. I need to investigate if I can tell it to not sync certain folders on the iPad. Like, for example, if I bought an app on my iPad called LumaFusion, which is a video editor. It's actually really pretty good. It's probably more capable than I know yet because I'm just learning it. But because of that, I end up copying since it's USB-C on my iPad, I can hook up an external drive, or I can even hook my my camera right too, for that matter. Either my Sony, I can just hook up the download the stuff via Wi-Fi, or on my DJI Osmo Pocket, I can just connect it right to the USB port, download the stuff to it. Well, the problem is 4K video is kind of large. So all of a sudden, my iCloud storage is completely taken up. So I need to investigate. I don't want it to synchronize that video because I really don't care if it's synchronized. Because I'm usually just making a little stupid little video for YouTube, you know. So I don't want to synchronize that video to my iCloud. So I'm going to have to investigate that because I don't want to pay for I already do pay for an iCloud account. I think it's $3 for the plan I'm on or something like that, just so that I can have my work phone backed up to the iCloud or something. It was the same thing too. When I got, the only thing that kind of was a pain in the ass, when I was switching from one iPhone to the next, when it was time to upgrade my phone, which I probably will ask for another upgrade as soon as I can, because the one annoying thing with my phone is I somehow scratched the LCD on it. Very faint. It still works fine. Glass isn't cracked, but there's a little fine line. It almost looks like a hair that's permanently on your screen is what it kind of looks like. So it's just a little fine scratch on the screen. But the other thing it's kind of related to this, in that I did get that Zune in the mail today, and I actually was able to get it set up and working on Windows, even though Microsoft hasn't supported it for, I don't know, 5-6 years, I think. I'm trying to think when they got rid of it. I think it officially took it off market in 2013 or something like that. So, and I got the original, the Zune I got is the original one, the poo brown color, which, yeah, some people will make fun of it because of that. They chose that color. I actually like that color. It's very 70s kind of a vibe. But the only thing was out of the box. I pull it out of the box. I flip the switch to power it on, just to see if it would power on. And it said, "You need to restore your Zune." I'm like, "Oh great, their servers are not available any longer." So I did some googling around. I found this guy's page. He had instructions on how to set up you can set it up with a .NET core to actually serve up the firmware. The firmware is downloadable in a MSI file, and then do it that way. But then I'm going through all the steps to do that, including adding a host file entry, and then there's an update. Someone has set up a server on the web. Just point the address that the Zune software wants to the IP address of this website, and it'll do everything you want. I mean, really, essentially, all I do is put a host file entry, and it would solve my problem. Oh well, no big deal. I learned something in the process. Probably the harder thing was actually getting the Zune software to install in the first place, because it's a little out of date. And the first thing it shows you, it says, your graphics card might be incompatible. And I'm like, what?
Nice.
So I fiddled around with it, and all of a sudden I was able to make that small box where it showed that fill the whole screen. And, oh, there's a button there. Okay, so I click the button, and then I can continue on and do what I need to do. But, I will say this. Looking at it many years after it's discontinued, Microsoft did a good job. And this is even – now, I will say this. The first one was essentially a reskinned and new different software version of a MP3 player that Toshiba made called the Gigabeat. It wasn't until the second generation of Zunes where they basically redesigned the whole hardware. So this one, so kind of, you know, and the reason they did that is they wanted to rush this and get it on the market in time for Christmas. And you got to keep in mind, this thing came out the same year the fifth generation iPod came out. Microsoft was a little late to the game there. And they had a lot of nice features. So now, what's it like using it today? Well, the video, I haven't actually gotten a video on it yet, but it only supports 320 by 240 resolution. And guess what kind of file? WMV.
There you go.
Not MP4. But regular old MP3s, I was able to synchronize, and it does have Zune software actually has podcast feature in it. One of the first feeds I put in there was our show. And it was able to download. Now, one thing I'm kind of interested in, because the Zunes all had Wi-Fi built into them. And you were supposed to be – one of the features, which one I probably never used because who has Zune anymore, was the feature where you could squirt a song to someone. But right. You're also supposed to be able to synchronize it wirelessly. I haven't yet got it to work. So I don't know whether it's me because it doesn't support the more modern WPA encryption or what it is. So I might mess with it a little bit, see if I can't make that to work. Because one thing it makes me wonder is, has Wi-Fi built into it? Could I just have the podcast synchronized directly to it, you know? Just hit a button and download them, you know, like I do on my phone already. So, but yeah, I'm not going to really use it to listen to podcasts anyway. But I was just playing around with it to see how that worked. Of course, two of the menus that are essentially dead is the marketplace, because there is no marketplace anymore because they shut those servers down, and there's a menu item called social, which was like their own little social network kind of thing that they had integrated into it. So those don't work, but the rest of it does. It has the music works pretty well. The only thing it kind of doesn't work is any of the synchronization. Like say if I ripped a brand new, you can use the Zune software to rip a CD. it's supposed to be able to, like, you know, get all the information from Gracenote, including the artwork and stuff like that. That part doesn't work, but you can add it to it manually. So actually, that actually works pretty well. Because one of my there's a Christian band by the name of Disciple, kind of heavy metal Christian music. One of my albums didn't have the artwork or a lot of the names. It actually came up as unnamed artist, even though I swear I put the ID3 tags in there, but it doesn't matter. And the other neat thing that the Zunes always had was they had an FM radio built into it as well, which even at that time was kind of a little bit out of date. But it does have some games built in too. I think at one point they did have like games that you can download to put on it. Not that they were that fun playing on the shit with the shitty. The Zune has a the original Zune had some what looks like almost like a scroll wheel, but it's not a scroll wheel. It's essentially a D-pad.
Yeah, So you really can't get too much software on there, can you?
No, not really. You know, there is a game there's called Space Battle that seems to be like a building game. Let's see what it's like. There's a checkers game on it. Space Battle actually looks pretty good, at least so far. It's still loading the game. It's a shooter. That's actually pretty nifty. I might have to make a video on it, but it's pretty neat. I'd say the hardware itself feels solid. Kind of sad that Microsoft wasn't very successful at it.
How much was it when it was full price?
They were, I think, either $299 or $249. They were basically the same price as an iPod was at the time.
Now, would you like to pay that price? Would you pay like $299 for something like that for the Zune?
Today, no. it had now. One thing I don't even know if it works or not that the buyer sent with it or the seller sent with it was it had an official remote control. Now I don't know if it works directly with it. You know, so like if I could plug it into a stereo, if I could use that to make it work, or if it, I think it probably officially, I have to look, it may have just came with a dock that I didn't get, which that's okay. I'm not going to go through a lot of effort to do that. I would like to see, they did bring out one of the last ones they brought out was the Zune HD, which the HD actually didn't stand for high definition video. It stood for HD radio. So that was a touchscreen based Zune. I wouldn't mind finding one of those. I'm not going to pay a lot of money for it. So it's just like, you know, but it's just like an interesting artifact from our day and age. And also it was in Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. Which even when that movie came out, it was old then. But it sounds good too. I mean, I have no complaints about audio quality. It's pretty easy to generate playlists. One thing I haven't tried yet is it should work with Linux. You have to kind of play around with there is a file out there that you can download and drop that in your home directory in Linux, and then at that point any Linux program that supports the media transfer protocol should work with it, and that's because Microsoft did something funky with it and the kind of encrypted stuff. So it has an encrypted connection when it's going over. Because that's the thing. And there's a really good video by the guy who does the YouTube channel DankPods. Watch it for a laugh, actually. He's pretty funny. because what he does is a lot of his videos are he'll take like a, apparently you can buy flash adapters for iPods so you can swap the internal spin and hard drive out and put flash memory in place of it. All right. So one of the adapters has four micro SD slots. So he took 4 1-terabyte micro SD cards and made a 4-terabyte iPod. Now, I don't think he actually got it to work. He had to drop down and put some smaller cards in there because for some reason he couldn't get all the things to work. But he has created a 2-terabyte iPod using similar skills. But he has he's dude's from Australia. And he's hilarious, man, because he'll talk about that. He'll talk about headphones. Like, he just reviewed – apparently Apple brought out AirPod Pros, which are essentially Bluetooth over-the-ear headphones. And he's got a problem with it where basically it just puts out a staticky noise. at least it started to do that. At first it worked okay, but he does stuff like that. And probably one of my more favorite videos of this guy is he'll take like all those cheap ass MP3 players over you know that in that time period. He calls them nuggets. And he'll try it like review them and there was in one of those cheap Chinese knockoff companies that brought out an MP3 player with Lego. All right, so it was a Lego MP3 player. It actually looked like a Lego block, and other MP3 players that are similar and knockoffs too. He'll look at the knockoffs like. Apparently, Craig, that used to do the car stereos and all that, are doing things like Polaroid does now, where they basically just sell the name, and they put it on a cheap Chinese piece of crap. So, the Craig ones are almost always trying to knock off the actual iPod stuff. But he'll take the device, try to put some stuff on it, and play it, and see if you know if it sounds any good. Usually, doesn't. Makes jokes the whole time, and then he has this I want to call it a headphone amp. I don't know if it's a strict headphone amp or what it is, but it's basically made to drive like the higher end headphones and stuff. So he'll take that piece of crap earpods that came with that piece of crap MP3 player and hook it up to that, and the headphones will actually get warm to the touch when he's pumping audio through it. But Dank Pods, pretty fun channel. But he did one on the Zune though, where he talked about some of the stuff on the Zune and how it wasn't that bad, but he hates it or something like that. But in that video, he kind of covered. That Microsoft had at least 3 different forms of DRM for music. They had I forget what they originally created, but then they had the Plays for Sure, and then they had the Zune stuff. This is all when they were trying, because they were in the MP3 game from the start. You know, then like the Creative Labs MP3 players all had a Microsoft Plays for Sure logo at some point. But yeah, I'm glad things aren't like that anymore. And you just fire up your phone and load up. Like, I use YouTube Music now. I used to use Google Music, but YouTube Music is what I use now, and it works pretty well. I have a Spotify account. I don't really use it that much though. But it's certainly a different kind of a time now, where MP3 players are only really used by us dweebs that like to play with them. Or in your case, want to go for a run and not take your expensive phone with you to listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
But I like it. It's, like I said, would I bought it back then? Probably not. I'm glad I bought an iPad pod back then. That was before I even started on this show. But I was able to synchronize the iPod. In fact, I think actually took – you can put Rockbox on the iPod now, which Rockbox worked pretty well on it too. But that's a more modern technology though. I tried a different OS for the iPod the Raspberry Pi called Twister OS.
What's it based off of?
I believe it feels like it's based off of Ubuntu to me. Actually, no. Take that back. Raspbian. It's Raspbian. Okay. All right. But kind of what makes it unique is out of the box, it has multiple interfaces that you can choose. It has the main one, the primary one, the default one is OpenBox, which is pretty sweet, actually. It actually works pretty well on a small screen. But you can change it over to a OS X-like look, a Windows 95-like look, a Windows XP-like look. You basically choose whichever one you want. It's just a little app that's sitting on a desktop. So that's kind of one nice thing about it. And that's where they got the name Twister OS, because you can choose which interface you have all off of the memory off of that one image. The other is it has a RetroPie already installed. So I actually haven't ran it again, because the first time I ran it, one thing I couldn't figure out is they do something a little bit different with the version of RetroPie on theirs. That I could not find a way on it to reset RetroPie, because I got tired of sitting there trying to map buttons on RetroPie to the keyboard, because right now all I have is keyboard attached to it. So I'll address that later. I'll get a controller that I can plug into it. But the one nice thing though is it already has the folder set up for RetroPie on the desktop. Not on the desktop, I mean in your user folder, the Pi user folder. So you can just copy the ROMs and the BIOS images for the game systems in there. Then once you set up the controller, RetroPie just works right out of the box. Also has Kodi installed as well. So you can run Kodi on it. And then it has LibreOffice, PhotoGIMP, which is basically the GIMP with a Photoshop tweak to it, so it works more like Photoshop than it does the GIMP, although it's still the GIMP at heart, so it essentially works just like it. They do have a set of instructions on their website for removing that. If you want to go to the traditional GIMP look to it. I want to stick with it. I like it. It runs pretty stable. I did have Ubuntu on there, but for some reason, and I had installed like X Screensaver and the XGL screensavers, because my favorite screensaver of all time on Linux is the Matrix one.
Right.
So, but for some reason, it would just lock up. And I'd even try hitting the Control Alt and then F6, F7. So, you know, going down the list of the function keys, trying to see if I can get a terminal to kill X on it. But never could. It was just completely locked up. The only thing I could do is flip the power switch. So I switched back to Raspberry Pi OS, which is what Raspbian became. And then I tried this. Actually, put this on a different micro SD card. So if I want to go back to the Raspberry Pi OS, I can just flop the other memory card in there. But the only thing that this kind of got me wanting to do is get another Raspberry Pi when I move finally, and a monitor and a keyboard and all that to hook up to it, so that I can have it up and running for a nice desktop the whole time. You know, 7-inch screen, a little bit limiting. I will try, like, if I do something like that, then what I may do with the screen that I have here is you can actually put on there, I'm trying to remember what they call it, Essentially, it's the auto interface, like for when you're driving a car, and I think it's supposed to act very much like Android Auto works. I think you can like plug a cable into it, and it's supposed to be able to bring your stuff on the phone or onto the screen on it. I don't know. We'll find out. The nice thing with the Raspberry Pi though is I could pair it up to the Bluetooth in the car and use that for audio on it. So that's something I might consider, but I do want to get a bigger screen because that's kind of one Raspberry Pi project I'm looking at. It's just a desktop since I'll have a little more room in the home office space. I want to get the kit from Vilros. Vilros has a magic mirror kit where you basically set up the magic mirror software. And basically, it's a two-way or one-way mirror with a LCD screen on the back side of it. So, like, a clock and weather widgets and stuff will appear right on the mirror. So, and I thought that would look good as you come up the top of my stairs or something. I could probably put it right there. But we shall see. I got a lot of things I want to do with my space upstairs. And probably not enough money to do all of it at once. That's the thing. I'll have a larger space, bigger than I ever had. And there's a lot of things I want to do. But it's all going to require some money. Which now I'm a little bit lighter in the pocket right now that taking Sassy to the vet was $180.
You guess expensive.
Yeah, medicine and the cone of shame and then Misty put the stuff on the table and I said I'm gonna make her wait till tomorrow before I mess with that because I don't feel like it today. Because she just was miserable. we started crating her when we go to the store and stuff, right? So we've been just leaving the door hang open because if the door's open, she'll just walk right in there normally now. That's kind of like her hidey hole. And then when she got home, that's the first place she wanted to go, but she couldn't go in there because of fucking code. And she's just like, she flounced on the floor over by the front door and just looked all dejected and depressed. And I'm like, poor dog. So your daughter got an iPad. What'd you get for Christmas? Anything?
You got towels.
Towels.
New towels.
PlayStation 5.
Well, and you know what? I don't count the PlayStation 5 as like a Christmas present because I had saved my money for that. And the thing was, when I finally had the money to buy one, was the day after the pre-sales were exhausted everywhere. So like,
right.
I think it was like Wednesday I had the money. Tuesday I looked and they were still available. Wednesday they were not available anymore. But I did get a PlayStation 5, like I said. So and here's another thing. So kind of going along with the whole problem that I've had setting up the kids' account on like Lily's account on iPad. I had a similar problem when I talked about it before on Google. But not as bad. I mean, once I got a compatible device to install the family software, you know, the family sharing thing, it works really well, right? And it does. It works in a way that I expect it to work. I ran into a similar problem with the PlayStation where I was like, I got this game, Portal Knights, and it's kind of like a very, 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 very low-end Minecraft, but it's you create a character. You could be a wizard, thief, or fighter, I think it is, well, you know, those three classes, and you go through worlds and it's crafting and stuff, and you can play multiplayer. So I got it specifically to play multiplayer with my daughter on the PlayStation 4. Figured that we would have a good time doing it, instead of me playing all my one-player games all the time. And the problem that I ran into with that is, even if you want to play multiplayer co-op on the same machine, both people needed to be logged in to the PlayStation Network and have a PlayStation Network account. Like, so I ran into that problem right there with trying to like set up her account under my account, but then it wouldn't let her play the games that she regularly plays on my account because it's restricted over there. And it wouldn't even let her play the Portal Knights properly on her account. It was just like this wacky bunch of hoops I had to jump through. So anyway, the PlayStation wasn't supposed to arrive till January 8th, but it got a message that it was shipped, and it came on Monday. So I pulled it out. It's about volume wise, maybe just a hair under twice the size of the PlayStation 4. It's pretty big console. It fits exactly where I needed to do, but it's kind of oddly shaped. It is curved.
It is, isn't it?
Yes, so you can either set it horizontally or vertically, but either way that you set it, it has this base that you have to use with it. So obviously you'd think, like, if you're going to set it up vertically, the base is just a little bit wider than the rest of the height of the console, so that it's stable if you set it up vertically, you know, it won't tip over. But when you set it up horizontally, which is the way I wanted to, because it's like curved, you can't just set it down. You have to put that clip, that base on it. And it kind of adds just a little bit more to it, that if you had a tight fit with a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 3, you ain't fitting this thing in there, right? But luckily, right, where I was putting it fit in perfectly. I had heard people had problems or were confused about how to use the new PlayStation interface. Right. I didn't have any problems. Now, when I fired it up and it was first connecting and everything, it said, do you want to pull down the latest software? Which, of course, I said yes. And it said, while we're doing this and getting it set up, here is a QR code. If you install the PlayStation app and you scan it with your phone, it'll sync up everything and automatically log you into the PlayStation and all that stuff. So, and have it all hooked up. And so I went to go do that. And like, by the time I downloaded the app and was ready to go with it, it already rebooted and was back up. And almost like I almost didn't need to do it, right? Because I could have gotten past that point. But I figured, why not? Let's check it out. I scanned the QR code. It synced up. Everything was good to go with my account. And then it said, you know, walk me through some stuff. It's like, if you have a PlayStation 4 and it's connected to the network, we could transfer the stuff over. Some stuff over from the PlayStation 4 automatically on here. And I'm like, all right, let's check it out. So it synced all the profiles over. That was cool. And save game information. That was cool. It offered to sync some of the games over there. Like, I don't know. One of the things that was odd, it's like, it's the first thing it asked me is, hey, you had these media applications like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video and YouTube installed. Do you want them installed over here? And I said, sure, go ahead. Install the save. And then it's like, hey, here are all the games that you have on the PlayStation 4. You could transfer them over to the PlayStation 5. And I'm like, it's like 65 gigs or something like that. And I'm like, no, I don't need to do that. If I want to play them, I can play them over there. I don't need to worry about that. So all that was good. Like, everything was working perfectly. And it's like, for security purposes, you really should set up two-factor authentication. And I'm like, sure, why not? So it said, we're going to send you a text message. What's the backup phone that you're going to use, or the phone? And I just put in my phone number, and it sent me the two-factor authentication message. I put it in, and it said there was a problem. Resend it. I put it in, said there was a problem. Resend it. And it kept doing this. And every time I had to resend it, it would not let me enter. Like, it would not accept anything that any of the ones that it sent me for some reason. I don't know why. It would send it to me. I would type it in exactly as it appeared, and then it would not work. So I did not set up two-factor authentication. I don't know why I would want to set up two-factor authentication on my PlayStation 5. It's not like it's other people are coming in my house and logging into it and buying games on it for themselves, right? So I'm not overly concerned about that. But other than that security message, like trying to set it up, not working, everything else worked beautifully on it. Man, it is beautiful. It is lightning fast. It is an impressive machine. I will say this. The controller is the best controller I have ever used in my life. It is weighty. It is big enough that I can grip onto it. It's not like the Switch controllers where I feel like I should have the hands of a five-year-old to work the Switch because they're so tiny. In comparison, this thing is like a whole other console itself as a controller. I mean, this thing is big compared to the Switch. Compared to the old DualShock, it's maybe about twice the size. Again, in volume, it's not like it's just thicker and heavier. And the triggers on that are really interesting. It's got this feedback in there where I'm playing Demon's Souls, and when you pull the arrow back on the bow, it's one of the triggers. Like, I have it set up, it's the right trigger, R2, and you pull it, and if you pull it just a little bit, you start about halfway, it's like you're holding the arrow, and then it gets tension on it. Like, if you want to pull it the rest of the way, it's like there's like a bit of like tension feedback. It's really cool. And so it's like that, and it did really a really great job on the controllers. The sound effects that come through the controller are beautiful too. Blue Point Software remade Demon's Souls, which is a PlayStation 3 game, which was the precursor to Dark Souls. They kind of launched the whole Souls thing. Well, Dark Souls was kind of the big hit, but Demon's Souls was before it. And oh my goodness, I've played this game on the PlayStation 3 like at least once a year from I think 2010. I don't know, for at least once a year for like 6 years straight. So I've played it a lot. And, you know, the bad thing about Demon's Souls Remake is it's the same game, but I love it. And it is,
but it's
just
so pretty.
I know. I get lost playing the game just like looking at everything. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is gorgeous. Like, I didn't want to kill the dragon because I was just enjoying the animation and the effects and the way that the dragon moved and did everything. I'm like, it was spectacular.
Yep.
So I've spent way too much time playing Demon's Souls on there. My daughter, Lillian, was so excited for the PlayStation. I mean, she could not wait. She was telling everybody she could not wait. She's been playing you know, Fortnite runs on it, so she's been doing some of that. She's been playing some Bug Snacks, and it comes with Astro. One of the nice things that PlayStation did, PlayStation Plus, if you have that, there's like 20 free games that they ported over. I'm not sure, like, the compatibility list here for what games that you have on PlayStation 4 that will run on PlayStation 5. Of course, there's the 20 games that they give you for free, and these are like AAA title games, Bloodborne, Mortal Kombat, Monster Hunter, God of War, Days Gone, Last of Us, Remastered, all those games, and a whole bunch more. Batman Arkham Knight, I think it is, are all free. And then it also had said to me, like, the games that I had installed on the PlayStation 4, it was allowing me to transfer over onto the PlayStation 5, like Neo and what else was on there? I don't know. I can't remember what else is still just sitting on there. And so Hollow Knight was another one that it offered to transfer over. So there were some that it wouldn't pull over. I think trying to think, like, the my daughter has this rhythm game. I don't think it would transfer over. And not that I really care. That's on them. But yeah, it is a beautiful machine, and I dig it. You were talking about getting a Switch Lite?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I will say this, just a couple of things to be aware of that I've read about people who bought the Switch Lite and may or may not couple of regrets. One was, even though they bought it to play portable, they were kind of like, they missed the ability to hook it up to a TV, to have that capability. And the big reason was because the screen on the Switch Lite is smaller than on the Switch, and it makes it really difficult for some of the more graphic heavy games to show up properly, and it's hard to see it because of that. I was reading a review of a guy who got one and said that those were his biggest regrets. It'll play all the games, but the ones that you only can play, I think they said console mode. Oh, and you can't detach the controllers.
Yeah, that much I knew.
So there's some games that you can't play on it because of those limitations, but just to be aware of that. I will say the Switch is a great little device, though.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of what else. So I got the Zoom. Talk about that.
Oh, I will say. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead and finish your thought there.
One of the things I would like to also kind of complain about this year, not necessarily complain. So obviously my daughter is online school, the school district, and the way they got it going, it works really well. Although one of the interesting things that I have since learned and discovered and come to realize that online education is made 100 times more difficult by the very fact that you don't have a paper, necessarily like a paper and pencil, you know? Like, when you're in class and you have to do math problems and stuff like that, the teacher would hand out a worksheet, and if you have to do like she's in, they were doing sets and things like that, where you would have to draw in a worksheet, you would draw this stuff in. When you try and translate that to a Chromebook, even when the Chromebook has like a touch screen, it's really difficult to do. And it makes it either you can do it and you end up doing it sloppy, or you do it by trying to type it in there. It just makes it take like five times as long to do one problem as if you just wrote it down on a piece of paper. You know, doing number line things on there, getting it all right and everything. You spend more time trying to use the tool than actually solving the problem or showing the word. And that's one of the deficits, I think. Now, what we need to do, and I'm surprised I can't find any, is we want to try getting her a stylist to see if that will help.
Right.
Because when she has to sit there and draw like 8 circles or 8 squares in a little sheet on a Chromebook with her finger, you know, either using the pad or using her finger on the screen, no matter how you do it, it looks like shit and it takes a long time.
Okay.
So it's...
Which Chromebook does she have?
Oh, goodness. I don't know what it is, but they're Lenovo's.
Whatever the school gave. Okay.
Yeah, they're Lenovo's. They're brand new. So they're like 2020 Lenovo's. I'm not exactly sure what model it is. But they have... they're pretty beefy for a Chromebook. They have the touch screen capabilities, which in and of itself is also a pain in the ass. Because when I go to help my daughter, I got to look at it and go to touch it and like move it by just like I would normally move a laptop, and I end up pressing the wrong thing on the screen and it moves it, you know, switches with the page and causes problems in and of itself like that. But I mean, we get by. It's a nice Chromebook.
Yeah, you talk about styluses. I kept seeing, like, I went over to Walmart and was stinking around in the electronics department like I usually like to do. And I saw they had some active styluses. And one thing I thought of, I wonder if that would work with, because the iPad Air 4 supports the Apple Pencil. All right. The only thing is, the Apple Pencil costs $99, and I'm not really certain I want to spend that much on an accessory.
How much does it cost?
$99.
$99? What's it do?
Well, theirs has, like, I know specific things in the Apple Pencil, like, it can detect, like, the amount of pressure that you're putting down on the screen. So, like, for example, depending on the app you're in, if the app can give you a thicker line or a darker line as you press it harder into the screen, it will do that. And other things like that. The Apple one also is designed that the Pencil 2 is the one that this one will support. And it'll just magnetically attach to the side of the iPad, which is kind of nice, but... It's kind of like also like the thing that I saw the other day. Like, there is a key. I think I saw this on a Facebook ad where there you can buy this keyboard. It looks kind of like an old school typewriter with the round keys, and it even has a return arm. You know, remember the old typewriters where you. To go to the next line, you reach over and hit that, pull the carriage over. It had that on too. And they were like, you know, that was like, well, that was cheaper than some of the Apple ones, but that was like $99. You know, there are two different keyboards that they make for the iPad that you can add to it. These are the nice thing about the Apple ones, and I think it's only the Apple ones so far. I have to look and see if anybody else uses it. But the iPad, both the Pro and the Air 4, have these metal circles on the back of the tablet where you could attach these Apple keyboards. All right. So the Folio one they have is like right around $100.
Mm-hmm.
But the pro one, which will when you put it on there, you can also kind of raise the screen a little bit, so it's a little bit more comfortable to type on it in a sitting position. Plus, also has a trackpad. That's $300 for a keyboard. Now, the absurdity continues. It's not limited to Apple. If you ever seen the show Warehouse 13?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Right. Well, in the warehouse, there is a computer that they have that they use to look up stuff, both when they're trying to find artifacts and just look and see what they already have in storage in the warehouse. They use, you can actually buy this keyboard that they use. The keyboard looks like an old school, like a typewriter. All right. It's actually made out of metal. It's gorgeous. It's made by a guy that goes by the name of Datamancer, and Datamancer Sojourner is the name of the keyboard. $900. But it is gorgeous. One of these days I'd like to get me one of those. I can't justify it. But then I'll go on eBay. You look at the old stuff, like when we first started the show, you had your PowerBook G4. Those are actually cheap, pretty comparatively cheap. But then you look up the old G3 clamshells, over $100. Well, actually, we talked about that last week, I think, but... It's like getting retro computers is pricey. Like this is one that I wonder is if they're doing it as a scam or what, but I saw someone on eBay, they had the original, probably not the original iMac, but one of the iMacs. They're saying this is the iMac that is sitting in Steve Jobs' lap. And they went like $3,000. I'm like, well, I don't care if people will spend stupid money on anything that famous people touch. And no, I'm not going to do that. But it's kind of the same thing, too, when you look at things like the I would love to have a Next Cube just to monkey around with it. You're not going to do a lot with it, but heck, it's the computer that essentially gave birth to Apache. That's where Tim Berners-Lee started the Apache web server, uh-huh. And the graphical browser, the Mosaic browser, was originally written on one of those, but... but those are thousands of dollars on eBay still, and they were originally like $10,000 computers for the base level. It's just funny, that stuff like that. I've watched it before, but if you've ever seen the 8-bit guy,
I have
before. Yeah, before that, he was also known as the iBook guy. He actually ran a business repairing the old clamshell iBooks, and was pretty good at it, too. Anyway, he back then, before he changed his name to 8-bit, the 8-bit guy, he, as the iBook guy, he would do different. And we're not talking that much long ago, maybe 2012, somewhere around there, is when these ones came out. And it was like, can you use the Power Mac, the G5 Power Mac? He had the fastest, he got on loan from somewhere, but the fastest G5 Power Mac, the dual core water cooled monster they had. And he said, could you use it today? And back then, you could. He had the same problem I have with the G4 in that you can't get a modern browser to run on, either the highest Mac OS that's supported or Linux. Linux, in fact, right now, the highest version of Linux I was able to get running on was an Ubuntu 16.04 PPC port, of course. So, and it's, I'm assuming it's the same thing there, too. Linux, you might be able to download the code and compile Firefox, maybe. But, you know, it just goes to me, one of the things, in, like I said, mucking with the Zoom kind of brought this to the forefront to me, was I kind of wish companies would then, you know, if they decide they're not going to support something, release a freaking code. Because some of these things, like the Zoom would be really useful if it just had some software updates to it. Like, more useful than it already is. But whatever. You know, it's, you know, they're never going to do that because, you know, they're afraid, well, they're going to, you know, take money away from us. Well, you're not selling them, so how's that taking money away from you?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how long should a company support something? So that kind of goes back towards where, like, it might be a better idea to move more towards the open hardware platforms, like, oh, I forget, well, the other, like, a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Purism phones, which they're 100% open source. So, 2020 is coming to an end tomorrow. And I know a lot of people are going to say it was a shitty year. And you might be right. But I'm thankful, one, that we are at the end of the year. And I'm going to be honest, with the exception of the pandemic things, I've had worse years.
Yeah, I mean, put the pandemic aside.
I'm very blessed. Yeah, I'm very, very blessed that, you know, my family as a whole has been affected by it. All that much. Unfortunately, the Tech Show family has been.
Yes, it has.
Yeah, recently, this week, found, it's probably towards the tail end of last week, Rich Hughes, Flying Rich, was admitted to the hospital with COVID-19. He is home now.
Yeah, he got pneumonia complications.
Yeah, pneumonia and COVID-19 at the same time. So probably pneumonia was what came out of that. He was on oxygen, never on a ventilator, but was on oxygen. They gave him remdesivir when he was in the hospital as IV medication for COVID-19 treatment. And they sent him home. I asked him, I said, what did they send you home with? He said, if you don't mind, and they sent him home with the zithromycin, you know, otherwise known as Z-Pak, and a couple of the real familiar ones, that a lot of which the media has talked about with the treatments of COVID-19, and one or two that I haven't heard of before, but he's doing much better now. So also I found out through the grapevine, through the Facebook, one of my friends from high school, her husband, was admitted. I think he's still in, but he might get to go home Sunday. So a lot of people are beating it, and unfortunately some aren't. Just today, Dawn Wells, also yes, known as Marianne.
Yep. She
from Gilligan's Island.
Now you watched Rich's Instagram post, right?
Yes, sir.
Like, I didn't have an Instagram account, and I heard. Now, did he mention at all his mother-in-law or anything in those?
I don't think so.
Because I heard his mother-in-law was in the hospital too, and I didn't hear anything back about that.
Let's see, I do have my supervisor from where I came from at the college. He's now retired, but his mom, who was in a long-term care facility, she had COVID, was moved to the COVID-19 ward. She's in her 80s, and she survived. So she's back in a regular room probably. But of course the whole facility is locked down. They won't let anybody visit, at least not directly in a class. Now, our governor just announced today that the curfew, there is a curfew unless you're going to the grocery store, that in Ohio of from 10 o'clock at night to 5 o'clock, and it's been extended to January 23rd. I haven't looked at the Ohio's numbers recently. I know they are expecting a spike. So I'm hopeful that doesn't actually. I know right after Christmas, there was actually a decrease in cases. But I do know of several people that I've been friends with over the years that have gotten the vaccine already. I have a friend.
Are they healthcare workers?
Yeah. Okay. There was a guy that I had wrote with for a brief time on Gear Diary. I befriended him like years ago on Facebook, and he actually went to school to become a nurse, and so he got it, and he took a picture and sent of his they give you a card that proves that you had the vaccine when you get the vaccine. The one thing that, and I had to, my brother's like, well, I'm not taking it, so-and-so got sick. I'm like, every vaccine, every medication has a side effect. Last week, I had an ear infection. I still have it, but it's mostly gone now. My one ear is still kind of a little bit clogged, but it doesn't hurt anymore. But, they gave me an antibiotic. I took that, and, you know what the side effects of that was? Diarrhea. I had that a little bit.
You got the shit. So. It helps your ear, but
not too bad, but, you know. Yeah, so, I mean, there's side effects to everything. And there was a person that probably died from it, from taking the vaccine, too. It was an extenuating circumstance. It was, I think they ended up, I think they had an anaphylactic reaction to something in the vaccine. So, yeah, my thing is as soon as I can, believe it or not, I have to find the story again or a story again or the list again. IT workers like us, we're in the first round. We're supposed to be anyway. I'm not going to take it though until I want to see older people getting it now. You know, the ones who are more susceptible to passing from it, you know. But whatever, I don't expect
to be able to get it till at least like spring, given all the other people that I expect to have ahead of me, definitely, that need it more than I do.
Yeah, right, like, right.
Healthcare workers, emergency responders. That's the thing,
I'll say healthcare workers healthcare workers who are at risk is what I want to see get it. Like, for example, is a 35-year-old, doctor fresh out of a med school at risk? Not really. But is that nurse who's been working for 30 years, should she take it? Yes.
Yeah, but that 35-year-old doctor, you take him out of the healthcare because he gets sick and he still has a chance to get really sick or whatever. You take him out, that puts more stress on the healthcare system. So
that's true too.
Get them all. Get the doctors done. Get the healthcare workers, the staff. Get the hospitals going.
They have 20 million doses out in circulation right now. Not given necessarily, but that's how many they've shipped so far, which I think is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, my neighbor.
20 million. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a neighbor. His wife, she works at the hospital. She just got the vaccine.
Right.
She works at the freaking hospital, man.
Right.
So, we got to start wrapping this up, though.
Yep. Last show for 2020.
Yeah. Are you going
to
get
on the Hacker Public? I don't know if I'm going to go on Hacker Public Radio or not. I actually have to work tomorrow, and I'm actually on call till 7:30. Secondary, though, so I'm still going to go. Like, after work, I'm going to head up to Sam's Club because, dude, I don't really have any kind of, like, New Year's Eve kind of food around, you know? Snacks or anything. You know, not that I'm going to sit there and watch freaking Ryan Seacrest. It's, you know, it's kind of odd how, well, pandemic's not going to change how you celebrate New Year at all.
Right.
But what did change it was when Dick Clark died.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer.
I can't stand to watch Ryan Seacrest for more than the 10 minutes. I have to watch it.
Yeah, usually when we watch the draw, like the ball drop, we just throw it up on from YouTube like 5 minutes before it's supposed to happen. It's like 10 minutes before it's supposed to happen, we're scrambling around trying to find out where we get a live feed from, and then there we go.
Yeah.
And then when you finally find it,
I think I am going to. Yeah. I think then the other thing I'm going to do. Probably not tomorrow, but maybe New Year's Day is take the tree down and get it packed up.
Ah, yeah, there we go.
Considering taking it down to church, I think I might load it up in the car and take it down to the storage after church, maybe too, just because I don't need it here anymore. But no, I'll probably just leave it here. It doesn't make sense for me to do that, you know, because I've already moved it once, you know. But I know, like, our tree. I'll probably move it, but I think I may, when we go to move, I'll probably put together a load of crap to take over to the dump, because I want to get a new tree next year, because our new house has 9-foot ceilings, so I want to get, like, a much bigger tree. I'd like to get, like, a 7-foot tree. That would be awesome. Maybe artificial. I might consider going and get a real tree. I don't know. It'll be a little easier to clean up because the whole lower level has flooring instead of carpet. But yeah, take all that stuff down. Holiday season's over, and hopefully 2020, by the time we're talking about bringing in 2022, all this stuff's over.
Yeah. All right.
And I'm in my house. So have a good one, everyone, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah, we'll see you in 7 days for 2021. Have a safe New Year's. And I hope the best for your family and friends too, sir.
Gotta keep my frickin' sauerkraut for luck.
Yeah, that's right. Can't wait. All right, here we go. Here are your promos for the last time in 2020. Don't forget the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show starts tomorrow morning. I think it starts midnight tonight, doesn't it?
Good question. I don't know.
Let's find out on the promo. Here we go. Thank you.
Yep.
Here it is.
Hey, folks. It's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio 24 Hours New Year's Eve show. We encourage everyone to join us for stimulating conversation and maybe send a Happy New Year's greeting to the HBR community. We plan on starting at 10 a.m. UTC December 31st, also known as 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will keep the recording going until 12 a.m. UTC January 1st, also known as 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless people are still on and talking. To join us, all you have to do is install Mumble. It is available on all platforms, including iOS and Android. Then, just create a nick And go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details. Connect, join the Hacker Public Radio room, and you're there. If you can't join us in Mumble, but would like to hear the show live, we will have a stream up so you can listen. You can go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details of the stream. So come on and join us. It's always a good time.
Oh my God, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
All the other shows might have their... Well, I guess we are the B crew. But no, we're the A crew, man. We're the old fart. But they might all have their own gear and review stuff. We make new stuff.
There we go, right? Ain't no one to get a review here.
That's too much work, man.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, I'm going to stop this recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. A cone into the wall and trying to take a drink from her bowl, and she can't. I cut the cone down a little bit so she can hopefully get some water and food in the morning.
My dog would eventually get the cone off and then chew it up because he hated it. When you try to put it on him, he'd growl and get all nasty.
I know. My wife said they took her back, and you know, we take ours to Banfield so that, you know, technically you're supposed to drop them off and then come back. You know, they'll call and you can come back and get them, at least with the way things are now. And they just walked around the store, but she said she can hear Sassy growling at them. And I'm like, well, I growl too. Somebody's poking and prodding me in parts that are red and raw. But I have to find out from my dad if my, as of yesterday, their presents hadn't gotten there yet, but we got all their stuff from them. So, in fact, I already spent all my gift cards, too. I got me a Filament Friday toolkit for 3D printing. It has like a little tool to get the prints popped off the bed and files and side cutters and stuff like that in it. Cutting mat and X-Acto knives and the tweezers and pliers and little things like that. Then I got a microphone adapter for my Osmo Pocket so I can put an external mic on it. And I got a book coming tomorrow. But overall, Christmas is okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, Christmas Eve, I went and saw the hole in the ground for my house.
Is there anybody in it?
No. There wasn't much of a hole either. Basically, they had like a trench and of course the stone. And then I don't know if I'm going to go down tomorrow or Friday. I might go down. I don't know if anything will be done with it being the holidays and all, but
yeah. Hold on a minute. I'll be right back.
Okie doke.
Alright. I got some complaining to do too, Joel.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
I tried another OS on my Raspberry Pi.
Oh, look forward to hearing that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, let me, I don't know if anybody else is going to show up. We get our playlist queued up. All right. Which one is this? Well, I was supposed to do this.
I don't know, our man still at home quarantined that would know that.
It's 887.
There you go.
All right. No.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right. Come on, I gotta move all these. Then I gotta transfer them up to. Still gotta do that. I'm sitting on my ass doing the wrong things. For the wrong reasons. I'm not doing the right things. All right. 887, here we go. Want to give us a count around?